And so they're relocating from North Carolina, this first buyer. And they came by our open house as well. And, you know, I try to look at their, you know, body language and what they're doing. And you know, they were talking like, oh, we can do this and that. And they were asking me, and I was giving them some ideas how to, you know, do a couple things as well. And like, oh, yeah, this, you know, so they're getting vested in the house. And, you know, you could see where they're already, you know, figuring out things to do and looking at it as their house, which is good to see.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a big part of it. So, you really, in offers, you know, money, obviously you want to get the highest price, but you also have to look at a lot of the other details, because at the end of the day, we need to close to get that money. And
yeah.
I tell everybody, you know, every deal, until you get your money in hand, it's not 100% done. And,
well, and
you
know, Todd, in the spring of Denver hot market, which was kind of a real peak this in 2017, people were even waiving the inspection contingency, because at the inspection, doesn't the shift of power change a bit? Because in an inspection, a buyer can get back all of their earnest money and everything if they just don't like something in the inspection. It's pretty liberal that way, isn't it?
Yes. So, yeah, Colorado contracts are very buyer-side, and there are actually quite a few outs in a contract for a buyer, and really not really none for a seller. Once you sign as a seller, you're pretty much in. And so, from the buyer's perspective, yes, I've had on the buyer's side, some buyers do that. I think it's they have to realize the risks of doing that, buyers do. But yes, that does happen from time to time. We'll waive the inspection. And because the way the contracts are written, a buyer can get out and not tell you why they're getting out on inspection items. They just have to give us a form that says that they are getting out because of an inspection issue, as long as they're within their deadlines. So it is very buyer-sided in that sense. But, yeah, to be competitive, that is one tactic that buyers do, and that's probably one of the, I'd say, most aggressive tactics, because
right.
it is, you know, risky for the buyer side doing that. Now,
do you ever suggest, you know, say there's a multiple offer situation, are you buyer agents considering waiving an inspection and having your buyer pay for their own pre-inspection or whatever? Do you ever suggest that?
So there's, like in the first offer, they put in there, let me get it up right here, let me get to the language here. The second offer didn't put anything in here, but it said the buyers agree to purchase the property as is unless there is severe health or safety concern. So that makes everybody feel good. They still have all their rights within their inspection. So they're just trying to set an expectation to say, hey, we're not going to bring up little piddly things that knick-knack type items, but if there's like maybe, let's say they have an inspection, there's like a gas leak in the furnace or, you know, health and safety issue of like that.
Good. That was my next question. Thank you. This is good for me because I was very curious about that.
Yeah. So they're, when they hire a professional inspector, they'll go through and it usually takes about 3 hours plus or minus depending on the size of the home. And they'll check everything. They'll run all the water and all the sinks, faucets, open all the windows, close them all. They'll look at the electrical box. They'll look in the attic, that, you know, make sure there's insulation. I've had houses where there's, you know, some insulation's been, you know, a lot of it's been gone. I recently had a house where it looked like there was evidence of a house fire from way back when. So, and the homeowner didn't know about it. So there's things that come up, you know, there's all kinds of inspection items a buyer can do and hire out. So the buyer pays for all that, and the buyer has the right during their inspection period to do any type of inspections they like. They just have to pay for them all, and you have to allow them to do that. But if in the contract, it also does say if they damage anything because of their inspections or whoever they hire, they're responsible to fix it. If they're the ones that damage something doing something like that. Now, they have the right to do like a sewer line scope is pretty common, to do like a radon test if they would like. There's all kinds of different tests. They could test for mold. They could test for this and that, but they have to pay for all those and they all add up. So most common, they just do a general inspection. It's like getting a, going to get a checkup with a doctor. It's a general inspection. And if there's something that the general inspector says, oh, that this is a, this might be an issue, but it's not my specialty, you might need to hire, this type of guy out, like a mold inspector or this and that, or a structural inspector. So they, but hopefully the general inspector, and there's all different, you know, there's a lot of them out there, so they talk differently to their buyers. So a lot of them are pretty good at hopefully understanding and telling the buyer, hey, this can be fixed. It's not like a big issue. It's just a matter of who's paying for it. And that becomes another negotiation down the road during the inspection period is, you know, who's going to pay for this to be fixed if it is an issue that the buyer brings up.
So let's go back to the multiple offers that we have now.
Multiple of two,
but nevertheless. So what's the next step here for you? What are you going to do with these?
So basically, I want to go over the main points of these, since we haven't really been able to go over the second one and kind of give you the pros and cons. And
I'm going to walk back up around to the front of the house. Hold on. We'll see if I still have signal. Hold on, you guys.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to throw the cat outside.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is kind of exciting. I knew, Todd, that someone else would see the value of the hard work that we did in here, you know?
Yeah. And this morning, just right before we got on the call, I got an email from a lead online. You never know how strong they are, but I'll be following up with them when we get off the phone.
I saw her.
Okay.
I saw her. She pulled up in front of the house with a black Land Rover.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She pulled around and stopped and took down your email.
Ah, okay. That could be.
Through your website, yeah.
All right.
When did that come in?
Came in this morning, about 8:45.
That's exactly when she, yeah.
The name is Tyler on it, so I don't know. I'll be following up. I saw it came across right before everything.
I think it was a
her.
Yeah. I saw a nice one of those little Range Rovers pull up and turn around and stop and take down the information. So I bet that was whoever that was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We could. I'm going to definitely go give them a call after our call here. So what I would like to do is just go over kind of the main parts of the contract, because the contracts are Colorado forms and everything in black on there is nothing we can, you know, we don't change any of that. It's all the writing in blue that the agents write in there.
Okay. Shall I go to the email, the recent contract?
Yeah, if you'd like to go to that one and open it up. I can hit the main points with you, depending on how much detail you'd like to get into.
You just get started and I'll yawn when you get too detailed here.
Yeah, there you go.
I've got it right here in front of me, sir.
So the property or the offer that came in last night.
Kathleen, are you with us?
I am. Yeah.
Did you get my forward?
I think so. You mean from last night's offer?
No, the most recent. Yeah, from last night, the one that I forwarded this morning.
I can pull it up too. Same time.
All right. I should go ahead, Todd. Sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, I see it here.
From City Carfree.
Yep.
Okay, got it.
All right. So this one, I spoke with the agent a little bit about these buyers, and it looks like they're moving from Arizona. This contract is contingent on the sale of their house, but it is under contract, and it's through the inspection period.
Hmm.
So she gave me the, right before I got on the call with you guys, she sent me over the agent that's handling these buyers' house in Arizona. So I'll be following up with her after our call. So what I'll be doing is a little bit of due diligence information when we get off the phone call. But I'll kind of go over everything and determine, you know, your thoughts and then how we go back to each of them to see if anybody wants to make their offer any stronger in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one is, so it does throw a little bit of a, you know, extra item in there that we can't control personally is the contingency of the sell their house. So we're dealing with more people. So the good thing is they're through their inspection, and she believes that they still have to have their appraisal done, which, you know, that could be something that always could come up. You know, So, if it's, you know, the biggest thing is they need the money out of their house, from what I understand, to buy this house. So if something happened on the other one, that does put some, you know, risks involved. Now, it does sound like this guy's relocating out here for a new job, and I asked a little bit about them. They have twin 3-year-old kids, and they're coming out and moving in with one of their, I think, brothers or sisters out here, and they're moving out here on the 7th, and I guess his job starts on the 15th, but he's already kind of started the job. So he's got motivation
and on the edge, kind
of. Yeah, to get in, to close something and get into a house. So they got the motivation there to do that, which is good. Now, we still have to rely on the buyers of their house, you know, performing, and the agent told me that those buyers didn't have a contingency, you know, to buy their house, but they still have to get through appraisal and they find, you know, and actually close on the house.
So they're in the last couple final stages of the process. They just need to understand that.
Yeah, there's still a little risk here and there. I haven't spoke with the agent yet on that one because I just got the information before we got on the call. They'll be following up with that agent to have a phone call and kind of get a little more information and hopefully be able to get a copy of their contract to verify theirs is under contract in Phoenix. And
so at this point, what would be you have to gather a little more information, and then what would your advice be if the information looks good on that end, on the Phoenix end?
Yeah, so for the rest of the terms throughout the contract, there's a lot of little check marks where you can say, like, where the buyer says, I'll pay for the appraisal, the closing costs are split, because there's a part in there, and it doesn't mean all of the buyer's closing costs, but there's a fee the title company charges. It's about $320. It's usually split by buyer and seller. They're both saying they would do that. That's typical. The second buyer didn't ask for any due diligence documents. The first buyer did, but that's when I sent over the counter the other day or yesterday. It's basically just saying, hey, if you have them in your possession, you'll give them to them. If you don't, you won't, type of thing. So that was more of a generic thing. I wouldn't worry too much about that. The second buyer said they're not going to do a survey on the property. The first buyer put in dates that they would, but I'd say more often than not, the buyers never even do the survey. They just put it in there as, you know, the agent usually puts it in there so if they decide they want to do it, they can. Mm-hmm. But they pay for that if they do. And then the one difference that the first buyer put in there, so they're $3,000 lower, but what I would recommend is giving an opportunity for the first buyer to say, hey, we got another offer and they're a little higher.
I was wondering.
Yeah, will you come up in price? And because they didn't have that opportunity to know, hey, because they were first offer in and they came in and over, you know, in a very solid offer, very clean deal. And they're from out of state as well and just living in temporary housing waiting to, you know, get into a house. So they're motivated as well. So I did get to see their body language in the house and all that. And you know, they were talking. So that was good to see as well. So I felt good with them as buyers and they seemed excited, probably a couple in their 30s, seemed like a nice couple and you know, talking about what they'd be doing to the house. So that was good to see.
Todd, what would be wrong with a strategy where you came back to both of them and said, look, we're going to make a decision by Tuesday at 9 or something and give us your highest offer and our seller will make a decision then. Wouldn't that be better than saying, well, this one's, you know, 3,000 over, can you do, I mean, because it seems like they would then say, well, I'll match that one, or rather than, you know, and we know the first buyers are qualified quite a bit over the actual offer price, so would it make sense to make it more of a generic thing with a deadline or not?
Yeah, and that's where, for both of them, I believe since we have two and they're both strong and so close, that yes, no, I think that would be a good option, is to go back to them and, you know, get us, you know, let us know what that would be, what your new offers would look like. Either send us a new one, new offers that are updated, or at least email us over what you would do, typically updating the offer so it's just all in writing. And one thing the first offer did as well that I see in these, as we were talking about with inspections, and you were saying some buyers maybe waiving inspection, and a lot of buyers aren't real comfortable with that, but some are, is that one of the better other things when you start bidding up price and then you start getting into concerns of appraisal. So once we start getting into that territory, maybe over 360, that this first offer, as long as they kept this clause in there, is beneficial as well, because they're saying that they are kind of not guaranteeing the appraisal, but they are saying that if the appraisal comes in under asking price, that they would that they'll pay essentially about $2,000 over, you know, if it within $2,000 of the purchase price, that they'll make up that difference basically. And they said they wouldn't use. They said also the language in there was that if it's within that $2,000, they did not have the right to get out of the deal. That they would make up the difference. Now, if it was an appraisal that came in $5,000 less, they would have that right to get out of the deal. But a lot of times people negotiate and say, okay, you know, we can either, let's meet halfway, or the buyer, you make up the appraisal difference. So those are important when we start getting into this territory of this 360 and above range of having some appraisal assurances in there from the buyer is something that I think is important once we get to this price point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in the spring that we were advising buyers, if they at all could put that kind of thing in there to get the bid, that we were saying, you know, because the appraisals may be lagging a little behind what the actual current values of things are, that we would say, you know, how much cash would you be willing to take to the table to get this house? Because if it doesn't meet the appraisal, are you willing to make up that difference? And sometimes it was considerable, you know.
Yeah. I've seen ones that are, you know, more than a couple thousand. It can be 10,000. And some people were doing that. But it is nice when they put that in there, because it's the appraisal does come in, like let's say you have a 360 price, but the appraisal comes in 355. Basically, the options are the buyer can get out of the deal, get their earnest money back, or they can say, "Hey, will you sell it to me for 355?" And you could say, "Well, no," or you could say, "Well, yeah, I'm still getting over my asking price. I feel comfortable with that because we're going to close real soon." And or you say, you know, it's a negotiation basically, is, you know, saying, "Hey, make up the difference to 360. And a lot of times there's maybe some negotiation back and forth, and maybe there's a different split there, you know, it comes in at 3.375, or, you know, it depends on the situation. But if they put something in the contract up front that they'll guarantee a certain dollar amount over, if it doesn't appraise over appraised value, and I could have them maybe look at changing some of that language a little bit, or maybe seeing if, you know, of mention it to both of them, because the second one didn't put that language in there, and, you know, saying, "Hey, would you guarantee a little bit more of that appraisal amount, just in case?" You know, that type of thing too. So that I see as a potential important piece of it. It's not everything, but it's another safety net in that appraisal part, because it's, you know, appraisers are, you know, it depends on the appraiser you get, and some appraisers may appraise it just fine, and you may just get that one that appraises a couple thousand less or 5,000 less, and and it's very hard once they appraise it to get it changed.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would say it's a nice thing to have in there, but also, you know, if somebody's going higher, like let's say somebody said, oh, we'll go 365, but they're not putting that appraisal part in there, you have to understand that if it doesn't appraise, you probably won't get that 365.
Yeah, I see that.
You know, so those are some things, like if somebody goes a lot higher but doesn't, you know, again, that those are points of terms that are important to weigh as well.
Is this where motivation comes in pretty heavily when you get to this point? I mean, the more motivated the person is, the more they're going to be willing to, you know, bypass things like that and go for it anyway. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, I think, you know, it depends on what cash they have available to them as
sure.
well. Like, what do they have that ability to do that? So some do and some don't. And if, you know, if they do, that gives them an advantage. And, you know, I think we'll be fine appraising up to like 360 and potentially a little higher. I think we're probably okay. But I think I do think once we start getting above 360, we start tiptoeing, you know, who's our appraiser? You know, 365,
mm-hmm, yeah.
I think some of the appraisers, we'd be fine. But other ones, we might not. So that's where we start tiptoeing over that. I think that's a nice feature to have in there from the buyer.
Well, the other thing about intent, I think somebody's intent wouldn't it be considered, I mean, this may be a little off, but stronger if they are coming into an area like this, relocating their family into a very popular area, and the intent has to be very strong there too. So maybe does that help kind of grease the wheels a little bit?
Yeah, and I think both of them are, the good thing is both buyers are reloading in and are in very very temporary situations. So,
and the kids, the twin three-year-olds in this particular case, they don't know it yet, but if they're the ones who get this place, they're going to be in heaven here because the street is loaded with kids.
There's
babysitters.
Exactly.
There's a babysitting network ready to be developed here.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if the other buyers have kids or not. They might, but they didn't have them with them if they did. So I'm not
mm-hmm.
quite sure if they do or not. So what I'd recommend, is you know, going back to them, and I can say we have strong, you know, two strong offers, and if you're okay with me sharing with the other people. But I can just tell them, you know, hey, we've got something that's a little stronger price point
mm-hmm.
Than yours.
I'm okay with
it. Yeah. And just tell both of them, if you can get us both your offers back by like early evening, to you know your best offer,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll make a decision either this evening or by tomorrow morning.
You want to try that?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good
way
to go.
Yeah.
The other
comment I would make is since I've gotten to know real professionals in the business like Kathleen and you, that you know, anybody would be wise to take the advice. In other words, you know, say what you want, state what you want up front, and let the true professional, well-versed professionals handle the deal. Just let them handle the deal.
Sure.
You know, pick somebody you
That's
think
great.
You trust, like we did, and then just let them go. Rather than, because I, as a seller, and Kathleen can tell you this, I have this way of, you know, well, if they don't like it, to heck with them, kind of a thing. And I know that's not proper negotiating technique. So I leave it up to you. See, this is what I've learned from her, and since I've gotten to know you. So have at it. Have at
All
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. And I feel, you know, in negotiations, both sides have to feel like they won something, you know.
Of course.
You know, because otherwise, if like on the buyer's side, you know, I'm working for your side, but also my point is trying to get your best needs met, and then, but making the buyer felt like they got something that their need, you know, their need is to get a house. So,
isn't that the old saying, though? I mean,
yeah,
that's the old saying.
Yeah.
They didn't steal it, and I didn't give it away.
Yeah, exactly. And then they feel good about it, and then they're they're less likely to get in the deal and then feel buyer's remorse. And that this is a thing. Well, my title company gave me some statistics, and it's something that it was kind of earlier this summer, so I'm not sure if it's exactly right now, the same percentage, but they were seeing about 25%, maybe 20, 25% of deals that were falling through that went under contract for one reason or another. And some of the sentiment was that sometimes people get in these bidding wars and then they get in to a house and then they sometimes they feel like, wow, did we pay too much for this house?
And so the you're talking about premature buyer's remorse, potential buyer's remorse.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
consider that, and it's almost as powerful as the real thing. The real thing is after you've already made the deal, it's too late. But if you start to think you're going to be remorseful, then you start thinking about backing out and looking for something else. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but they could go under contract and get out on their inspection time, but that's the deal. Like, you go under contract, and as a seller, you think you've got a good deal, and then the buyer comes back and says there's an inspection issue and just gets out and doesn't tell you what it is because they don't have to tell you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They can just send over a form saying we're getting out because of inspection. They shouldn't use it just to get out because of buyer's remorse, but that's not on the form.
That's not on the form, is it? There's
buyer's remorse.
A box. It's not on there.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's my point. I like to set expectations that does happen sometimes, and that's where you try to want to make the buyer feel like, okay, they've got to, in all of this, working with the agents as well. The agents are important on each side of having good communication and making them feel like, hey, we're here for them to work with them. But obviously we're trying to get the best terms for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that's the main thing here is.
And for you.
Yeah, and for everybody, and just getting to the finish line is the big thing, because we can do all this stuff and inspection, all that stuff, and there's always things that are going to come up on inspection. There's when people put in there that health and safety issues, there will be some things that maybe they think is a health and safety issue and you may not. And so at the end of the day, when we get to that point, I look at it as, do you want the deal to go through, and is $500 going to stop this transaction from
not
moving at
that
forward
level.
Or something? Yeah, and that's where I try to hopefully, we never know until we get to that point, because I've seen deals where people, to your point, where you're saying, hey, if you don't like it, go over here, leave or whatever. And I've seen people
walk away
from deals, for like $200 and, from a big transaction. So, when you look at the big picture, it's like, okay, if you just made them happy of giving them $500 and who cares what it goes to, but you get to close your deal, then that's something to consider when we get to that
point. Of course. In other words, it's worth it. It's whatever that is, $500, whatever it is, a smaller,
In
other words,
ridiculous.
We've already gone this far.
Yeah, we've already
in for a penny, in for a pound kind of a thing. Kathleen, what do you think of all this?
Yeah, well, I had a question on, isn't it true, Todd, that anytime you don't meet the acceptance deadline time, like I'm looking at one of them, it's 2 o'clock today, and you counter, isn't the buyer at that point completely free to say, well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, and you've lost that one?
Yes, so technically, that terminates that offer at that time. So the 2 o'clock, the 8 o'clock. So basically, the ways you can go about this is these buyers are interested. Can any of them right now just say, we saw another house that just came on the market and saw it on and decided we're going to write an offer on that and just we rescind our offer? They could send me an email and do that as well. Both of them seem very highly motivated towards this property. And so when I call them to communicate with them and say, hey, bring us your highest and best offer, sometimes I've had people say, you know what, this is our highest and best. That's what it is. And then so we just have to see what the other people are going to do.
Right.
And, you know, and then we just at that point determine, is anybody going to up theirs? If they are, great. If they aren't, then we know what we have in hand, and then we make a decision based off of that.
Okay.
But, yeah, what I would be doing is just calling both of them and, you know, again, saying, hey, is there anything you are willing to change? We have two strong offers. And, you know, it's essentially the one that came in last night knows they're a little higher than the other one. And, you know, I'm just going to say, hey, I'm giving them a fair go at this because they, you know, they came in first and we feel it's, you know, fair to let them know that there is another strong offer in and to let them have a shot at it, and we're letting you have a shot at it too of what you feel mm-hmm. like your highest and best is.
And then we also have another showing today, at least one more. So do you bring that into the discussion too? And also your consideration of what your timeline is to look at accepting one or the other?
Yeah, so I did see we have a showing at 2 today that came across while we were on the phone. And so, yeah, I basically just tell them we're still getting showings through here. I tend to not, like when we get two strong offers like this, at 2 o'clock, you know, we probably wouldn't be making a decision before then anyway, most likely. But I
thought there was a 4:30 one also. Didn't you say, Jeff, or 5:30?
I thought there was. I saw something on Monday at 5:30, 4:30.
Oh, there might be another one at 5:30. I just saw the recent one that came across looking at the date. So I'd have to look back on the showings to see.
And you guys talking about this makes me have another question, if you don't mind. Can this act as a discouragement for the first two strong offers if they also know that we're continuing to show? And I mean, we have to. I mean,
they understand that. You know, they understand we're continuing to show because we want to continue to show until we go officially under contract, until everybody signs everything. And then at that time, you have the option. I can put it as a backup where it still goes under contract in MLS, so most likely you wouldn't get many showings at all. But mm-hmm. if I put it in a backup status, people could still set a showing to go look at it. They know it's under contract, and they could write an offer as a backup.
But also knowing that the contract could fall through, so that's why they do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So,
all right, good.
And some people, like one of these offers, could say, hey, we go into a backup position. Some people like doing that. Some people don't. Because when a deal falls through, then sometimes they feel like, okay, I don't have to maybe come in as high a price, something like that. So some people, we'll have to see. But showings, I think we just keep those rolling. I wouldn't keep holding off on different showings because I think we've got super strong offers. If another offer comes in while we're negotiating and we haven't gone under contract, then definitely consider that. Especially like this 2 o'clock one, but I wouldn't keep putting off, especially with the price. Now, if we were just kind of around full price or a little below, I'd say, yeah, let's see if we can, talk to the agent and say, hey, I'll talk after they show the house, but let them know that we have offers in that they have to make a quick decision. But I probably wouldn't keep holding off these two offers because the good thing is about this in the price range as well. They're both conventional loans, and they're both putting more than like 3 to 5% down, which a lot of times in this price range, you see buyers that are putting maybe, getting FHA loans and only putting 3.5% down. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they don't have a lot of that extra money that these two buyers potentially have, putting, 10 and 20% down on the property. And I know the 10% people supposedly have more money. They're just choosing to put 10% down just to have extra money for other things.
It sounds like we're in a good position. I mean,
the
position that I kind of wanted to be in, I was hoping that we'd get close to something like this. So thank you very much for your efforts on that.
Yeah.
And Kathleen, thank you for your help in getting this place looking like somebody wants to fight over it. That's good news to me.
Yeah, it's great. So I think, you know, next steps are I'll contact both agents and say we've talked about both offers. They're both, you know, really close, and I'll recommend both agents, you know, a nice a point from the seller's side is guaranteeing, you know, some sort of appraisal amounts is something that is a nice thing you'd be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously price and yeah, the closing time seemed to work fine. The first offer, they had a house, and I believe they already, you know, they've already sold it, so it's not contingent on them selling another house. So that's one thing that's an advantage of that one.
It is a little
price,
bit, yeah.
Obviously, but I think that takes a little bit of risk factor out of it, because there's less people involved and less things involved. And so yeah, they're both good offers that I think you can go. I think, you know, let's see what they both do. And then I think either one is probably going to be just fine.
And that is the only thing that worries me, and not worries, but, and I think, Kathleen, you agree with this, that the second one that's contingent on the sale of their house, that really is that a major risk factor there, in losing that? I mean, in other words, if I agree to the, it depends on who comes in. I mean, after you do your next negotiating, you know, phase here,
yeah.
And these guys that need to sell their house first, and I choose them because they came in higher, it's like I told Kathleen yesterday, there's more important things than the amount that you think you're going to get. Obviously, we've talked about it all today.
Yeah.
And so I wonder what kind of a risk factor that is. You said they're pretty far along in their process, so I'll have to defer to you once we get, if you go into this next phase of negotiations and get some numbers, then I'll be asking you to, you know, help me with that decision.
Yes, I'll be calling the other agent in Phoenix.
Exactly.
And see if I can get a copy of their contract, and then see how truly, you know, just confirm how far along they are. But if they still, you know, if they still have appraisal to come through, I'm not afraid of contingencies, but when I have an offer that doesn't have a contingency and all else is the same, I would hands down go the one without the contingency, just
okay.
Because it's one less thing.
Well, let's
now,
see what they come. Yeah, let's see if anybody's willing to up the ante here, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, then that's where, is it 3,000 apart or is it 5,000? You know, then there's like, okay, but I have ability to make more money here, but there is a little bit more risk in it.
That's the thing. I don't think I'm going to risk it for a couple grand, $2,000-$3,000.
Yeah, so it's all, you know, you just get more, I call it human behavior that can be.
Yeah, true. And,
you
know,
happen.
I'm on a deadline. I have a deadline, too. Not, it's kind of self-imposed, but really, I mean, I got to get out of here, too. You don't have to share that with anybody.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Not desperate
no.
necessarily, but,
yeah,
you know, there's timing.
Yeah.
There's an amazing balance of timing here.
Yeah, exactly.
And I see.
And the nice thing, it sounds like the second offer could, if the first offer, they might be able to move it up a little bit. They could close a little sooner. The first offer said the same thing that you know, they can close a little quicker if needed. Yeah, that type.
The second
thing.
One seemed to be needing to, because he starts a job on the 15th of September.
Yeah. And they're going to be staying with some family and the
other
people, too. They're already working here as well. And I believe they're nurses, if I remember correctly, the seller. But they're already working here, and they moved here from – and they're just in temporary housing waiting to get into something, too. So they're, you know, they're both kind of in the same boat of needing to get into a place.
So there's similarities there, so that's not really an issue.
Yeah, so I think you know, both very motivated in that sense.
All right, good.
So, yeah, so I think we'll just, you know, and if anything else comes in on while we're doing all this on any of the other showings, we'll definitely, and I'm going to follow up on this lead that emailed me as well. If anything comes up on that, I'll let you guys know. Otherwise, I'll be, you know, working these two and then get back with you regarding the results of, you know, who, if anybody's going to up their offer.
Okay.
And you know, I think we want to act fairly soon because also timing starts getting into, all the dates start moving around too much if we wait too long.
I'm ready.
Well.
Whatever,
so,
yeah, whatever you think.
Yeah.
The,
so I
the
think
point
they'll
is
come back.
That we need to.
Yeah, if they'll come back quickly, you know, I think, you know, with both of them, I think it's something that I would recommend given where the prices are and how strong both offers seem to be. I wouldn't wait around for other things, you know, to maybe like, oh, maybe this guy will do something, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I'm into that. Yeah. I'm not going to.
Yeah, because then we start losing people potentially in the interest of buyers sometimes of like, yeah. You know, what are they playing us on some things? So that's why you don't want to hold them out too long, especially when we already have two really good offers.
Okay. Kathleen?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay,
so
great.
Stay in touch and we'll probably know by tomorrow morning at the latest. You know, it sounds to me like, you know, first thing in the morning, we could let anybody who's come in at that by that point know who we
were. Yeah. And I think if we get some responses sooner today, you know, I'll definitely forward those to you because a lot of times we'll get response from these two offers a little sooner. We can kind of see how this, you know, the showing happens in the, I'll have to double check the other one, like I said, that's later in the day. But I think depending on what the other people come back at, I would, if it's, you know, sometime this afternoon and they're pretty strong, at that point I would almost say, you know, it's up to you, but I would lean towards accepting one if they are pretty strong there.
I think I agree with that. I think, we'll just see what that does. Now, of course, now if my final question would be, what if somebody shows up in front of the house in an hour or two with a suitcase full of cash and, you know, 10 or 20,000 above asking price? Do I owe anybody any money then? Can I just go for it?
Yeah,
shut up.
Hey, we can still sell it to the cash guy.
Yeah.
But,
I'd be more worried about that, I think, you know.
Gosh,
Todd, thanks, man. I'm going to defer to your judgment on all this. Of course, I'll make the final decisions, but you make it easy. It's very, very well explained.
Yeah,
you guys
have helped
me understand more than I ever thought I would about this.
Well, I'll talk to these two agents. I'm going to hopefully talk with the lender of the second agent or buyer as well because I've left them a message.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll I think they were calling in earlier when I was talking, or at least somebody was, and then I'll follow up with that lead. And then, like I said, I'll if we get any other interest, I'll definitely forward it to you. But otherwise, we'll see what these two offers do.
Anything else, Kathleen?
No, I don't think so. I guess the only question I'd have is on if you've got two more showings for tonight, would you go back to those people and say, hey, we're going to be making a decision real soon today to get them to reschedule earlier or anything like that?
I was going to call and see kind of what their buyer situation is as well, because sometimes if they're just like, just going out with them for the first time or this or that, you know, sometimes that they'll kind of throw it out like, you know,
not that serious.
They won't know, like, depending on who the buyer
is. It's out looking at houses on a...
And I'll definitely let the ones later know that we have offers in and going to try to make decisions, see kind of the situation of their buyers. Because a lot of times agents will let us know, like, they're, you know, or they're like, oh my gosh, you know, definitely wait for us, you know, this is, you know, like, I can kind of get a sense sometimes of that, but I also think with the ones you have in hand, you don't want to stretch them out too long either, because then they start feeling like they're being played against, and then they start getting a little antsy, and sometimes things don't go as well trying to get you the best situation of an offer in, is what I found too.
Well, and that's an important point you made earlier, and I definitely want you to consider that. I mean, you're the guy that can handle that. Yeah, I don't want to. We got a couple of big fish on the line, so to speak, and I
Yeah.
And I'm the typical guy that always loses the fish. Sounds to me like you're better qualified to hold on, brother.
Well, yeah, we've got two great offers, and like I said, I don't want to string along too long some of them, but I'll definitely be following up with the people showing it to kind of get a sense of their situation and how the agent talks to me to where, like, oh, maybe we should wait a little longer. But in the meantime, we'll get in touch with these people and let them know, hey, get us your highest and best, and then we'll be playing the other people, too, to see if there is any other offers that potentially could pop in.
Good.
Great.
Keep you posted.
Well, Todd, thanks so much. I just wanted to say also one thing that has just really impressed us about what you do is your availability, your patience with explaining things has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. We've both been impressed with that. Yeah.
Very impressive, my friend.
Well, thank you. Yeah, well, appreciate it and appreciate the business. And I'll keep you guys informed, and we'll either get it wrapped up. I mean, my guess is if it's between these two, that we'll be able to get it wrapped up this evening.
Okay.
If we start getting other interest, you know, of other showings that pop in, then, you know, that might be a little different. But, we'll just kind of see from there and make decisions as we need to.
Well, I see the qualifications of anybody coming in to look at it now. They're going to have to be pretty good to match or exceed what we've got on the table right now, you know.
Yeah, it's just going to have to be probably a cash, you know, if it's an investor, they're not going to want to pay that higher amount typically.
Exactly.
If it's an investor guy, sometimes they might make a play, but my guess is if it was a cash deal, it would be somebody, you know, that's more investor style. But you never know, somebody from California or somewhere,
you know.
Sold a house to pay cash and can pay a little extra, and that you never know, that can work.
All right, the dream scenario.
Yeah. All right, cool. We'll be in touch when I get more info, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Okay.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, guys. All right, bye.